Caller Nicole, say hi, Mrs. Hutto. Our caller from behind, Mrs. Hutto, and see if she answers. We'll pull a trick on her. Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Need a little more volume up there. Well, that one's the closest, too. Well, you got that one running. Okay. Now you can make an adjustment where it's too hot, or, I mean, the microphone. Believe me, if you want to be hot, come up here. I don't know why, but it boils up here. I think... All right. If you have your Bibles, be prepared. Let's get ready to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. I want to go over some very simple things. This is another series in the calling. God just keeps revealing things to me about this. But I'm going to read you a scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Father, this is your word. These are your people. Use your word to change your people. We believe that it is the only truth. We believe that as we bring the truth, it sets us free into you. Free, a sound mind, a pure heart. We trust you, Lord, to do your thing this morning with your word. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I was, I don't know, praying, reading. I don't remember what I was the other day when God spoke this to me, but He said that even tomorrow is called. Tomorrow is not just a fictitious, foggy thing that's on the calendar. It is a command of God that there be a tomorrow. You know how He created it? The same way He created you. So whatever tomorrow is, that's what you are, and whatever you are, that's what tomorrow is. It's a command of God. It's as real as I am. It's going to be as sure and as touchable as I am. It is not an accident. It is not a happenstance. It is a command of God. So much so that God says, don't you worry about it. It'll take care of itself. But you know why it was created? Not to take care of itself, to take care of you. Tomorrow, sometimes we dread a tomorrow. When in reality, if we knew the Word of God, it's a called, ordained entity to take care of you. That's what it was created for. It was created to give you joy. It was created to give you peace, prosperity, children, children's future, your future. It was created for that. To think of it any other way would be to believe a lie of the devil or a lie against the truth. Now I'm going to go to the King James. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to give you some definitions of this verse. The King James says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now that's not saying that there's sufficient enough evil to take care of tomorrow. Because that's a little bit how it sounds when you first read it. That's not what it says. It says tomorrow is sufficient to take care of the evil. Did you hear me? Yes. Tomorrow is sufficient to take care of the plans against it, the evil things that would speak or come against the Word of God. This should be a little bit exciting to you. Get into it quick. Don't wait for me to wake you up. I'm giving you truth now. Amen. Okay? Take thought means don't be anxious about it. Don't worry about it. And here's the key word. Don't be distracted by it. I find it very interesting how many times distraction is mentioned in the definitions of the Bible. Don't be distracted by tomorrow. What does the morrow mean? Listen to this one. Tomorrow just doesn't mean 24 hours from now. Tomorrow means a breeze, a morning air, a fresh air, a blowing air, a strong, satisfactory wind. Now listen, I find this interesting because you were created out of the dust of the ground, and what did God breathe into you? Breath. of life. The breath of life. If you look up that word, it's the same word as the spirit, or the wind of life, or the air of life. And He created tomorrow with its own breath. Tomorrow has its own breath. It's a fresh breath. The devil tells you it's not going to be any good. God says it's good. You've got to get up tomorrow and choose this day whether you believe it's good or bad, and whether it's going to be good for you or not.
Amen.
Sufficient to take care of the evil. Sufficient means enough. It means unfailing strength. Unfailing strength enough to defend or to ward off evil. Now this is so exciting to me, because tomorrow was created to fight evil. And if I learn to trust that, I won't fight it so much. I won't have to. Tomorrow is created to make me healthy, to provide for me, to provide good for me. Tomorrow was created to do that. The devil decided to convince me of something else. He convinced me that in the job. The job is not going to be exciting. The job is going to be boring. He tries to tell me that tomorrow I could lose my shirt, instead of believing that tomorrow there's no way I can do anything but prosper and be in health as my soul prospers. Because the day is created to do that for me. Tomorrow is created to do that for me. That's right. If it wasn't, God wouldn't have created it. And we'd have had just one day on the earth, and that'd have been it. Because He would have never let us slip into a bad one. Or He would have never made it bad. It's up to us. Let's move on. It has been made, tomorrow has been made to perform, to refresh, to heal and provide. It has the strength, the power, and the anointing. Do you guys believe that we have the strength and the power and the anointing to overcome? The very breath of God that formed tomorrow and was breathed into it, tomorrow itself has the same authority and no other authority. Did you know the difference is tomorrow doesn't have a will and we do? Tomorrow doesn't have any choice but to obey the Word of God. It was not created with a will. We're the only one that has the will. We're the only one that can change our outcome for tomorrow. It will defend. It will provide. It does not know how to disobey. It does not know how to worry. We shouldn't either. Matthew 6, verse 24. I'm going to go back up and end with this same verse. Listen. No one can serve two masters. Now, let me say something to you. Tomorrow, we can look at it as being able to serve two masters, but it can't. Tomorrow cannot serve two masters. It can only serve one, its creator. We're the only one that has the right to try to serve two masters. But the Bible says you can't. You will serve one or the other. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon would be a tomorrow that had worry. If you think that tomorrow doesn't have finances for you, then you're serving mammon. You hear what I'm trying to say? Tomorrow is built in with prosperity. If you enter into it with worry, you're not serving the God that created it. You are serving mammon. I'm trying to look around, see how you're reacting. This isn't complicated. This is very simple. I'm finding out in the Word that the simpler that these things get, the more complicated we try to make them. It's hard to think of a tomorrow as a person, but it's not a person because it doesn't have a free will, but it is a creation of God. It comes with benefits. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. The devil has decided to distract us so that we can even praise the Lord and not remember His benefits. I can pray for tomorrow and not even remember that tomorrow has benefits built into it. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. Two different things. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look, Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. Why was that put in the Scripture? Because you are told that if you don't work, you're not going to please God. And it's not a matter of just not working. If you don't do certain types of work, you won't please God. What types of work? The type of work that mankind says you should do. I have decided not to speak here. I have decided to be a sacrifice, I guess, or something here. Okay. Don't know where that came from. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Why? Because they don't take thought for tomorrow. They don't worry about tomorrow. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed not like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Did you know that God insulted us without even us recognizing him here? He told us we had less faith than the birds in the grass because they don't worry about it and you do. I don't think I like that. I think I want to change that. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I wonder if this young man, when he gets up in the morning, the first thing he starts doing is worrying about if he's going to be able to eat today. I didn't say he wasn't hungry. I said worrying about whether food was going to be there or not. If he's hungry, he says, I'm hungry. The reason he says, I'm hungry, is because he already knows food is there. If he didn't know food was there, he would say something different, like, are we going to be able to eat today? He doesn't worry about it. I didn't say your stomach didn't growl. I said he doesn't worry about where it's coming from. And he expects, too, by the way. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. That's those things that those heathen go after, those people that don't know God. Where does that put us? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Now, this is very encouraging to me, Harry. My heavenly Father knows that I have need of these things. You know how come he knows that? Because he created the need in me. And then he turned right around and created the tomorrow to fulfill the need. He made it where I had to eat. And then he turned right around and gave me all kinds of provisions that tomorrow will bring, if I don't get in a hurry and if I don't worry. Okay. Just remember, God is not worried about your needs. It's already been taken care of. If it's already been taken care of, why would I worry about it? Why would he worry about it if he knew it's already taken care of? Here's the remedy. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. This young man needs to be taught that the first thing in the morning, you don't get up and seek your need. You seek the kingdom of God, which is your only need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All what things? Clothes, provisions for your body, provisions for your spirit and your mind, food, money, all of those things that we feel needs of every day. Tomorrow has already got that built in for us. All we got to do is walk around like this. Give it to me. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Don't you worry about what tomorrow's already worrying about. You ever have your wife do this? Harry, my wife does that. I'll already be worrying about something, and she tries to make it better by worrying with me. You don't need to worry. I'm already worrying about it. Just you got your own things to worry about, and I'm not going to worry about those with you. Luke 12:22. Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." I'm reading you the second version of this because it says, "Let everything be established how the mouth of two or three witnesses." Now I'm bringing two scripture to you. Jesus spoke it. Two witnesses are now reporting it to you. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them daily. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Of which of you by worrying can add one inch to his height? If you then are not able to do the least, if you can't even help yourself a little bit, Bob, if you and I can't even get ourselves just a little taller by all this worry, and that's the least, then why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knows already that you have these things, have need of these things. Why are you seeking after it if you already know that God knows? But seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for listen to this. If you haven't turned there, you turn there for this one scripture. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. It's not just that he wants... Sometimes, Tanya, you feed the little rugrats because you want them to hush. Not just your thought right at that moment isn't, oh, they're going to grow up to be such beautiful people if I feed them. That's not always a parent's thought right at the moment. They're fussing, I've got to get something in the mouth. God never looks at us that way. He says it's His good pleasure because He sees the future and because He knows the future. It's His good pleasure not just to feed you, but to give you all of these things. And He called tomorrow to do that. Okay. Now these, you can turn there or you can write them down. I don't care. I'm going to go a little faster now. Mark 13:11. Mark 13:11. But when they arrest you and deliver you up. Now, what's Jesus doing here? He's trying to paint the worst case scenario possible. He started off talking about flowers and birds, and now he's in worst case scenario when you're under the most extreme pressure that you can be under. Do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you what else tomorrow has got in store. A voice called the Holy Spirit. In this entity called tomorrow, the Holy Spirit was put. What is the Holy Spirit's job? To keep you from worrying and telling you what to do. We got a lot of callings here, Harry. I'm not half through with these callings. I've just kind of dwelt on tomorrow. But I'll just go on. We won't get ahead of ourselves. Tomorrow you will be told what to say. You know what happens if you say what you're told to say tomorrow? It'll take care of you, and all of the tomorrows will take care of you. If you'll do what you're told to do tomorrow. What are you told to do tomorrow? Don't worry. See, the very thing I ask you is, what are you supposed to do tomorrow? It starts worrying in your mind. The first thing you do is start worrying about, what am I going to do tomorrow? Don't worry. It says don't worry beforehand, because when you need it, you'll know. Sounds too easy. Psalms 91:11. Psalms 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Now, I'm trying to help you understand why you shouldn't worry about tomorrow. You've already been told what to speak, where to go. Now, there are angels. Do you understand that angels are called beings also, just like tomorrow? Tomorrow is a called being, and an angel is a called being. An angel does not have a free will. Tomorrow does not have a free will. An angel has been given a command to what? To keep you in all of your ways, if you won't worry. What happens when you worry? You disobey God and you begin to serve mammon. You're trying to provide yourself, which means you're going after the money instead of seeking first the kingdom of God. That's too simple. Yep. Unless you become as a little child, you'll miss this. Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 23. Then, when you don't worry, and when you let the angels take care of you, and when you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, listen to this, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Today's called. The Holy Spirit's called. You're called to not worry. The angels are called to keep you from stumbling. You're called not to worry. The Holy Spirit's called to tell you what to do. You're called to not worry about it. Just do it. By the way, sleep is called also. It's a command of God. Here, take some sweet sleep, Harry. Because you've not worried, here's your reward. Sweet sleep. Because you've not worried, here's your reward. No fear. Sudden terror. Don't worry me. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. You have some called ears. One of the things I'd like to do is tell you that every organ in your body is called and commanded of God. To do what? I'm going to pull you apart. I'm going to force you to believe there's two of you in every one of you. What is every organ in your body called to do? And how? It is to glorify God, but how? To function properly. To what? To provide. For the spirit man, the second person that you are, the real person that you are. See, we're messed up. Our society's taught us that the spirit man in me is designed so that I can take care of my body. You don't believe it? Just listen to everything. We're created to take care of the earth. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says the earth was created to take care of me and gave me dominion over it. If that's the case, then isn't that the way with my body? Yes. It was designed. Every organ, every entity of my body was designed to give me a good ride in this life. Amen. Provide for me and do what I tell it to do, not what it wants to do. How do I know? Look at this, Isaiah 30, 21. Your ears shall hear. That doesn't sound like a suggestion. It says your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left, whenever you turn to the right hand or turn to the left hand, your ears, we're getting down to nitty-gritty here something. My ears have been told to hear God. You know what a hard heart is? A hard heart? It's when I refuse to hear God. Or let's say it another way. I've heard it and I refuse to obey. But my ears are going to hear. I promise you, you listen to me. As you walk this earth and you speak when God tells you to speak, whoever's in your presence, whether you're talking to them or not, their ears are commanded to hear. As long as it's Word of God. They're commanded to hear. Well, I talked to my son the other day, and he didn't. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. I don't care what that friend or relative acted like when you talked to them. Their ears have been commanded to hear. Don't worry. Don't worry. Tomorrow's coming. You put the word, and tomorrow's coming. I'm going to go to bed and sleep on that because I'm not going to worry. 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. Short scripture. Very short. I would have you without carefulness, Harry. You know what my parents spent most of their life telling me? Be careful. I tell her the same thing. My Bible says, I am to be without carefulness. Why? Because the root word is care. And I'm to have a big case of the don't cares from God. Come on. You're arguing with me now. Your body and your mind is arguing with me. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm telling you that the Bible says, don't be careful. Don't be full of care. Don't be full of care. Tomorrow is designed to take care of you. Seek first the kingdom of God. It'll take care of you. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but you don't know about that sale down at Foley's. I said that for the women, Harry. I could care less about a sale at Foley's. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. But you don't know, if I don't get up to that garage sale right quick, I may miss it. I got to be there at 7 in the morning, even though they say it starts at 9. Be anxious for nothing. Let me tell you what, if we trusted God like we were supposed to, nothing would ever slip through our fingers. It would be there, and it would wait for us just like tomorrow. How do I know that for a fact? In the Bible, it tells us about a job that a man was given, and he said, I can't do it in the time frame, so God held up tomorrow for it. God has the ability to perform His Word in us, even if He has to slow the sun down. No miracle. That's just His natural way. It's a miracle for us to believe it, or more. Get it to you free. Let's go ahead and step a little further. Praise the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, I know people that spend all their time trying to beg, borrow, and steal things with their words and with their actions, with the manipulation of their witchcraft. I thought this says, let your requests and your needs be made known to God. Not to me, to God. I had a lady that was going through a divorce the other day, and I walked into where she was, and I said, can I help? She said, if you've got a shoulder to cry on, you can. I said, I don't. I don't. My shoulder belongs to her. And I don't take you crying on me very well. I got some word. I'll tell you who to pray to. But you can cry on me, Harry, you can cry on me until I look like a soaked pup. And you know, it won't do a bit of good. There's nothing I can do. Because you see, I'm not going to worry with you. I make people mad, don't I, when I act that way. I'm not going to worry about that. You worry yourself. Tell me when you're saved. Tell me when you're safe. Because when you're safe, there's no more worry. When you make your request known to God, this is what happens. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I've got something else for you. It doesn't say you'll never have any needs or fear. It says let them be known to God. Don't keep them in secret. Let them be named. And when you do that, there's this called thing like peace. Now we got another entity called peace. We got a tomorrow. We got a lot of things. We got me. We got the Holy Spirit. We got angels. We have another entity that does not have a will. Do you understand that peace does not have a will? I'm the only one that does. And I can run peace off. But the command of God is that peace just takes me over the minute I turn it over to God. And let me tell you something. Don't try to figure it out because it's beyond your understanding. The peace that's called to you is beyond your understanding. Number one, don't try to figure it out. Number one. Number two, don't try to duplicate it and give it to somebody else. How do I know this? How do I know that it's an entity unto itself? Did you know that the Bible talks about it? And I know you do. It says when you enter into someone's house and you go there to minister, bring your peace. And if they won't receive it, take it with you. Don't leave it there. Now, you see, if that was just a feeling, I couldn't give it and I couldn't take it away. But it is not. It's an entity created by God. It's a real thing, this peace. Amen. And God gives it to me. And I sleep good. It will guard, by the way. When you get this peace, it guards your hearts and minds. Peace guards this big old angel called peace, if you like it that way, comes and guards your hearts and your minds. I don't have to guard my own mind, Harry. I got this big thing called peace that God dumps on me that does that for me. More than that, you got an organ that's protected by it. Do you know that the Bible says that many, when fear comes in the last days, many will die from what? What happened? From the heart. The heart fails them. Why? The heart wasn't guarded by the peace. Isn't it neat to tie the word together? I like this. You guys sit there, but I like this. This is good. We now see that God made peace for us to obey Him, to guard our hearts and minds. No sickness, no disease of heart or mind will stand in God's peace. You listen to me. No sickness, no sickness of the heart, no sickness of the mind will stand in God's peace. Let's turn it around. When God's peace comes, what happens to my heart and my mind? If it's no longer sick and no longer tormented, where is it? Strong and bold and full of power because it's not afraid of anything. I got peace, Harry. And ain't no devil any size, way, shape, form, or fashion can take away the beat that's in my heart. All we have to do is trust Him. Okay, I'm gonna bring this to a close within some kind of fashion of time. Listen to this. What is called? We've been talking about a lot of callings. What is called in this context today? We'll try to reach out there. As far as I'm concerned, everything is called. But today, listen to this. What is called and what is it for? The day is called. What's it called for? You and me. I want you to start thinking about this. When the alarm clock goes off, if you need one, I don't ever use an alarm clock. Doesn't do any good. I'm either awake or I'm not. And I always am, because I got peace. Listen, when the alarm clock goes off tomorrow, when you go to bed tonight, have you got anything to worry about?
No.
Do you have the right to worry at all?
No.
Why? It goes against the peace. Worry and peace fight. One of them is going to win. One of them gives you a sound mind and a pure heart. The other one does the opposite. Torments your mind. Agitates your heart. You begin to lose sleep over things like that. You don't even know what it is. You're mad at yourself because you can't sleep. You know what it is. Well, it says, tell God. It doesn't say get up in the middle of the night and do housework. It doesn't say get up in the middle of the night and do bookwork. It doesn't say get up in the middle of the night and mow the yard that you have a guilty feeling about. Torment your neighbors. So go to sleep. Rest. If you can't, tell God about it and watch Him supernaturally clothe you with peace.
Amen.
And you'll be sleeping like a log and you can't even figure out what you did except you turn it over to God. Amen? The day is called. The night is called. The day is called to provide everything except sweet sleep. The night is called to give you sweet sleep. What's sweet sleep for? To restore you for tomorrow, not to worry, but to just do what God tells you to do in all peace. The universe is created and called. You don't believe it's not called. You let some wise-tailed scientist tell you how the universe holds together. It holds together because God told it to and told it why. Why? It's got to hold the sun, for one thing, to make the day. And then it's got to hold the moon at night, according to Genesis, to give us light at night. How about that? Did you know God knew I needed a night light long before I did? And He just put a permanent one there. It doesn't burn out. We've read in the Scriptures that my body, my mind, my heart was created by God and commanded. Harry, my heart was created to last 120 years. By the Scripture, 120 years. It was created to pump pure and free and at peace for that whole time. And somewhere in that time, me and God get together and He says, Stan, you've done enough. Come be with me. And at that moment, I say, okay, you can have your heart back now, God. No fear. It is not supposed to fail because of disease. The only thing that brings heart disease is not peace. That's according to the Word. I'll believe the Word over any doctor. I never ask a doctor for a second opinion against the Word. My mind. Oh, well, see, when you get older, your mind has to fail. That's not what God said. God said in His Word that not one thing in your body that I made will fail.
Amen.
Not memory, not joints, not anything. It'll work. Not love, not sex, not anything. Ask Abraham. God didn't make our body to fail. He made it to endure until it's time to go. And just like that, it doesn't fail. It has fulfilled its command. It didn't fail anything. That's cool. There's another one. My life is called. It says in the Scripture that my life is called. Well, when I get to be 120 years old, I'm going to look back and think, I didn't accomplish anything. That's a fear that the devil puts in you. Call him a liar. Your life is called. Rest in it. And if you're not sure about it, it says just turn it over to God and He'll give you the peace about it. By the way, this includes your spouse's life, body, health, mind, heart. Did you know God's voice is called? God called Himself and commanded Himself through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, and through His Word to perform. And did you know that God Himself doesn't even have a will? He's already told us His will. He can't change that. You and I can change. I can start off with God tomorrow and tell Him to go to hell the next day. But God can't do that. God cannot do that. He didn't give Himself a free will. He said, this is my desire for you, and I'll never change. And if you can ever prove to me that I lie to you, I'll die. He was serious about what He said. His voice is called to speak to us. His voice is called to speak certain things to us, and it cannot change. We think God fluctuates. Never, never, never. Hallelujah, I can count on that. My way is called, and my walk is called, according to the Scriptures that we just read. First place, the direction, Harry, that I'm supposed to go is called. The second thing is that as I walk that direction, my feet are literally called. My ears are called. My heart is called. My mind is called to make me go that way. No accident in my life, Harry. I'll not receive that. If there's an accident, it was a purpose on my part to disobey the Word of God. It was not an accident. And I repent and turn from that wicked way. And I go back into the peace that God gave. Angels are called. Your speech and your thoughts are called. The trouble is they belong to a person with a will. But I'm telling you, God has laid His hand on us. And when he laid his hand on us, he laid a call on us. And when he laid the call on us, it included the way we speak and the way we think. The sleep is called. Here's the cool one. The things, listen to me, the things that the world has to seek after, we're called to get free.
Amen.
Things are called to me. The world has to chase them down. Isn't that what it said, seek ye first the kingdom of God?
Yeah.
It said that. It said, if I won't worry, if I'll just enter into tomorrow with rest, peace, that they'll come after me. Deuteronomy 28, if I diligently listen and obey, the blessings overtake me. The world has to go after. Come on, I want you to get a hold of this. If you can't get a hold of anything else, get a hold of this one. The blessings are commanded to overtake you if you obey. They don't have a choice. The devil fools us. He lies. He's a liar. He can't do anything but lie. He only speaks negative. God only speaks positive. Let's listen with the ears that God gave us. The things of tomorrow that God created, He commanded them to overtake those that diligently listen and obey. The world, who does not get to partake part of this, has to work their keisters off to get it. Something's backwards here. I'm teaching you this so we can start entering into it. Let's stop being the tail. We were called to be the head. You know what the head does? The head rides the working parts. The head gets to ride the working parts. We're called to be the head. Let's ride the peace of God into the prosperity of God. In short, everything was created. Everything that was created for Him and for His good pleasure. Do y'all believe that? Were you created by Him? Then you were created for His good pleasure. And that everything else that He created was created for what? You, His good pleasure. The earth wasn't created for His good pleasure. The earth was created for you, His good pleasure. Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, and they were created. By your will. For your good pleasure. For His good pleasure, you. Luke 12:32. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Did you notice it didn't say it is your Father's goodwill to see you work your hind end off to make a living? You know why we work so hard? Because we worry so hard. If we'd learn just to rest a little bit, we might learn not to work so hard. Why? Because I'm not afraid of tomorrow being full of lack. You guys thinking about that retirement, scary, isn't it? Not supposed to be. Tomorrow's taking care of itself. Lee Patrick's learning that. He hadn't learned to worry about a job yet. He just, every time he needs one shows up. Of course, they want to pay you $4 an hour, right, Patrick? No. They offer to pay him very well. That's nice of them to obey God, isn't it? As if they had a choice. So you need to make more money, work less than anybody else out there. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to work less. The work less has to do with no worry, no fear. God's got it under control. But instead, what we do is, if I don't get that next contract, I won't be able to pay the rent, so I got to work super hard, and the next thing I do is underbid. No, wrong. I don't have to underbid anybody. I don't have to take less money than anybody. Are we ready to trust God's Word in this thing? Or is this just a good story to get you pumped for today so that I can get better tithe to the church tomorrow? Yes, I want you pumped today. I want you pumped about tomorrow. I want you to make more money, and I want you to tithe more. I didn't bring this for tithe. Don't hear me wrong. Anybody listen to this tape? You're an idiot if you think that I'm preaching about tithe. You need to throw it on God and get some peace. Let me ask you something. Do you think God needs your tithe? He doesn't. Do you think He wants you to be able to tithe more? Yes. That's the key. It is His good pleasure not to get more 10%. It's for you to get more of the useful part of that. Also to fulfill His seed time and harvest law that He put in effect and can't change for you. I will remind you while I'm on this subject that He will not change a law for you. If you decide not to tithe, His law of seed time and harvest cannot work to its fullest extent. It will not provide for you what He wants to provide. Therefore, you're not fulfilling His total good pleasure. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you believe He gave us a tomorrow? Or are you worried about that? You worried about tomorrow? He already gave it to you. Don't worry any. Throw away the little bit, and He just gave you tomorrow. You go with a smile on your face and a peace in your heart. Well, you don't know what kind of bills I'm facing. I don't want to know. You wasting your time telling me. The Bible says tell Him. You tell me about the blessing you got from telling Him. Then we can all be overcomers from the word of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What's your testimony? I'm a loser. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. You need to get a different testimony. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I got a tomorrow. And after that, I got another tomorrow. And you know what? No boss in the world can fire me. Because I don't need Him. He is not my source. God is my source. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, not the boss. Doesn't say seek the doctor. It says seek first the kingdom of God. Doesn't even say seek the preacher. Although sometimes that helps. Because the preacher is supposed to remind you seek God. Am I crazy? Can I be peculiar? Okay. At least let me be peculiar. If you don't let me do that, then you're probably going to worry about tomorrow. Jesus came. Let me remind you of something. Jesus came to make everybody worry for a moment. That's what He said. He came to cause division. What kind of division? Number one, a division in you from right and wrong, from soul and body, or spirit and body. And then He caused one another other division. He starts dividing you from the world and His. Why the division? Can I remind you of something? God only made enough provisions on this earth for Him and His. He has to burn the rest. That's a weird way to look at it, Harry. He made enough provisions to last us till the last day. By the way, we're not going to run out of oil. We're not going to run out of coal. We're not going to run out of uranium. Water. It's not going to happen. Anybody that says that, they haven't read the Bible. There's enough provisions on this earth to last us to the last day. Why was it made? For His. For His. Did He have to make some extra? Yeah. Yeah, just to make sure that the world didn't eat up what was His. Can He do that? Let me tell you what He can do. Let me give you a promise. What He can do is He can make you in the same business you're in. He can make you more money than the next guy and not take from the next guy. He doesn't have to take jobs to give you jobs. He doesn't have to take money to give you money. He made more than enough, but He wants the lion's share of it to be part of the lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion's share, I promise you. The lion's share of healing. The lion's share of wisdom. The lion's share of revelation. Don't ever worry about the 900 numbers that are going to give you a word. For those that are trusting God, the lion's share of the revelation belongs to God. Is there some other? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's some people that have turned their back on God that have revelation. But they'll never be in the majority. They'll never be in the ruling. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about it. What about the job market? There's so many of them and so few of us. But who's the CEO? Who's the real CEO of all the businesses in the earth? Don't you think he can say, that's my favorite, give him my favorite position? Don't worry. Tomorrow is a called entity in its own. It's a done deal. And only your doubt and unbelief can change that. Let's curse doubt and unbelief and become the true called of God. Amen? All right, let's stand. That is a good word. It's a real word. To me, it's a fresh word. That sound like a fresh approach to that word? I always want freshness. I don't care if it's... There's only so many words in the Bible, so there's no such thing as a new word. But there's certainly a new look on the word. Because we just looked up the definition that said tomorrow has a fresh air about it. It's a refreshing time tomorrow. I am fully intending in myself to get up tomorrow expecting new things without worry. Amen? New things in my body, in my mind, in my heart, my finances. Why? Because Stan wants it real bad? No. It's God's good pleasure to give me the kingdom. How many of you want to please God? I'm going to ask you one more time. How many of you want to please God? Then the only way to do that is to receive the kingdom and all of its benefits. Don't make excuses. Go after it with all your heart. If you want to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, go at it to get the kingdom. Never be satisfied. Be a bunch of greedy guts. Be just a bunch of greedy people. Say, God, I want it all. You give it all to me, I want it all. Here's what I'll do for you, God. I'll be faithful. I'll never think it was me. I'll always know it was you. I'll always give you your part, Lord. I'll always do that. I'll give you glory and I'll give you honor. And if somebody says, how did you get so smart? I'm going to say, God. If somebody says, how did you get so rich? I'm going to say, God. If they say, how did you get so fast or so mean or whatever they say? I'm going to say, God. I'm going to say, God. I want to thank you so much. No, thank God. I want to praise you for that. No, praise God. God gives you $1 million and tells you to give somebody $100,000. They're going to weep and they're going to thank you. You're going to say, don't thank me. It wasn't mine. I'm the delivery boy. Hallelujah. God, let us deliver your word. Let us deliver your love, your kindness. Let us deliver your tomorrows to other people that don't have any. Let us bring peace with us and offer it to the household we're with. Let us not keep things like this to ourselves. And God, when we face doubt and unbelief from believers, supposed believers, let us operate in grace and love, but firmness and power, so that we're not convinced, but they are. They're convinced that you're a true God and a loving God and a Father that wishes their children to abound in all good things. God, we're called to that, and tomorrow's called to provide that, and we receive it now with thanksgiving. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. Y'all be blessed. Don't forget tonight.